Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We bless you. We bless you. Father, send your word this afternoon. Let it come to heal, to deliver. For you sent your word and you healed. Let there be many healings and deliverances. Let there be a great impartation as we hear your word. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right, please be seated. Amen. And thank you also for all these offerings in Jesus' name. All right. So, that testimony was great. Both testimonies were very great, isn't it? Amen. Yeah. The guy said he's by the way, I was just telling somebody after the first service that when you see somebody testifying of something, it's only a sure sign that yours is on the way. Amen. Do you understand? Yeah. And I was correcting the person because the person was looking at it another way, that it's like, how come others are being blessed and now I'm not being blessed? Wow. But what it actually shows is that yours is on the way.
Amen.
Yes. If I met somebody driving a huge truck and they say to me that they drove the truck from the North Pole to the South Pole, you see, and they've come back, and I am also supposed to drive there, and I have the similar truck, I'm happy because it's an assurance that my truck will go and come. Do you see? Yeah. So when you see somebody experiencing great testimonies of the hand of God, it's a sure sign that God is at work, and you would also have your part. You understand? So this is a word for all of you, Nadia and Christine, right? You just started. And whoever is also starting nursing. It's a difficult course, but you will do well. You will pass. Do you understand? Do you believe it?
Yes.
Yeah, you will stand here and testify that you also did your exam and you passed. And you are now licensed. Wow.
Yes.
Isn't God great?
Yes.
Yeah. And then the other guy who always had condoms in his pocket. had condoms in his pocket. You see, let me tell you something. One of the reasons why people sometimes are shy and scared of churches like this is because of the liberality with which we speak, by which we speak about these things. You see, it takes a pastor with a strong forehead to tell you that don't fornicate. Yes. And it's not everybody who likes to hear it. You understand? Yeah. So people who don't like to hear it, they will feel uncomfortable in a church like this. But I will keep saying it, that do not fornicate.
Yeah.
Fornication is wrong.
that's
the only French I know, fornication. I don't know whether it's proper French or not. Is it proper French?
Yes.
You don't know that word. Okay. It's my made-up word, fornication. Yes. Yeah. I mean, how can you be walking around with condoms in your pocket? And he said, you heard him say, he said 3 times a day.
Yeah.
One of the signs of demonization, are you listening? Is when you are able to do things in excess. You see? Yeah. For you to sleep with 3 women every day, it's not normal. You see, the madman of Gadara, when he had the demons, you know, Bible says that the fetters he tore apart, he broke them. Extra energy. Yeah, so extra energy. It's not normal. It's not normal at all to be able to maintain, you know, sleeping with different women 3 times a day. It's not normal. Do you understand? But God is helping us to change. You see, and he made another statement which is very true. When you get born again, you see, Bible says that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. True, real, honest rebirth. It gives you a new spirit, not refurbished. It's a difference, you know. And that is why Ezekiel prophesied years before it happened, that he said, a new heart will I give. When you get born again, God puts a new heart in you. You see, and if you follow the Spirit of God, you see that desires for certain things will drop out.
Amen.
And you wouldn't like to do them. And that's what happened. You heard him say, I didn't feel like it.
Yes.
He said he even developed a hatred or something. Is that what he said? Yeah, for those things. So that is what God does for us. Amen. So we've been talking about faith, and I'm not about to stop. How many weeks have we done it? Usually we don't like to go beyond 6 weeks. I think we're almost there. When we hit six weeks or so, we'll stop and we cannot finish preaching about faith for a long time. There's always something to talk about. This week, I was just watching Kenneth Hagin. Sometimes I flip. I have different fathers that I watch at different times. But you have to maintain Bishop Doug as your main father. You understand? Yes. Never forget your father at home. If you forget your father at home, you won't do well. And in any case, all the other leads that I have, it's because of the father I have. So I was listening to Kenneth Hagin, and I think it's an old interview by TBN. I think when he was 83 or 84 years old, before he died. And they were interviewing him about, you know, his work and ministry, his books and all that. And he was asked a question that, what would you tell this young or younger generation? What words would you leave us with? And he mentioned faith. He said, faith. He said, faith, that is what I would teach them. And that's a message I would like to leave with them about faith. And I realized that, wow, it's important. Yeah. And in his time when he lived this earth, he talked so much about faith. Preaching about faith. That sometimes people will ask, why do you preach so much about faith? And then he will give his reasons. That without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, you cannot be saved. I mean, faith is the currency. Yes. As the dollar is to America. Faith is the currency. I mean, if you want to trade with God, it is faith. Wow. Because in Hebrews 11, 6 says that without faith, it is impossible. You cannot come here. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him, to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. You have to believe that God is. God has the answer. God has the answer. Amen. So in the past few weeks, we've talked about where faith comes from. That faith is of the heart, isn't it? Faith is of the heart, not your physical heart on your left side, but your spirit with the heart, for with the heart man believeth. For with the heart man believeth, isn't it? For with the heart man believeth. So faith is of the heart. It is with your heart that you believe, not with your head. Yeah. When we try believing God with our head, we fail. Because there are many circumstances will prove to you that logically it doesn't work. Yes. Isn't it? Yes, but it is of the heart. So if it is of the heart, then our hearts or our spirits are very important. As you sit here, your spirit is the most important part of you. I've told you over and over again that the definition, spiritual definition of death is actually the body without the spirit. Isn't it? The body without the spirit. As faith without works is dead. So the body, and I'm still feeling cold. Mercy. Today is not bad, is it? You're a good brother. You're giving your sister your coat. Wow. Do you give her your credit card too? I think you should give her your credit card one of these days. On her birthday or something, or Christmas. One of these days. All right. Nadia, he says one of these days. Yeah. So where were we? What was I talking about? Faith. Yeah, I'm talking about faith, but which part of faith? I'm saying it's a more, yeah. And I'm saying that as you sit here, you are a three-in-one being. We've talked about it many times, isn't it? Man is a spirit. He has soul. And he lives in a body. Yeah. So there are, say it again. I was talking about the definition of the, yeah. And I was saying that, yes, that as faith without works is dead, so the body without the spirit is dead. So medically, we define death as when cardiopulmonary, you know, activities is stopped. You stop breathing, your heart is stopped. But spiritually, when you're born, I'm assuring 100%, one day you would experience it. Yes, if you are lucky and you have a prophetic experience, you see, I'm sure some of you have, you've come out of your body and you see your body lying there, you can see that this is you. It was a dream. Yeah, they are all nice little prophetic experiences. Yeah, but one day when you die, you see that your body is lying there and you can't communicate with anybody. And that is how it is. So your spirit is the most important part of you, and we need to pay attention to our spirits. In as much as we should take care of our bodies, your spirit needs to be taken care of. Amen. Yes. If we had a spiritual x-ray that we could take, that will pick only on our, x-rays pick only on the bones, isn't it? Or metals and that kind of stuff, things with calcium and things in them. So when you take an x-ray, you see only those parts. Anything else you will not see. But if we had a spiritual x-ray that could pick on our spirits, we'll be very surprised. Ask yourself, how will my spirit look like? Yeah. It's a good question to ask ourselves. Will your spirit be malnourished? Will it be juicy and fresh and nice? What would your spirit look like? You understand? So your spirit is the part that is key. And that is why we're talking about how you can develop your spirit. Because faith is where faith comes from. And Proverbs 20:27, which is one of my favorite verses, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. So your spirit is that which God uses to enlighten you. Not your head. Not your head. When God wants to speak to you, the part that is connected to him, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. God connects your spirit. He speaks your spirit. He throws it up there. Le stombro tapayande. Esh kenanga lagrade kelezo. Zuru chimpakayende ele frapayende. So, if I want to speak to you, I will relay a message to your spirit. Your spirit will be enlightened and it will throw up light into your mind and you would begin to comprehend that which I'm saying to you, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Don't be afraid to speak in tongues and interpret. Yes, it's all by faith. I learned it from Ken Hagen. The difference between the natural and the supernatural is faith. It's always a step of faith. You speak it, don't even think about how you're going to interpret it. I believe that, listen, a lot of us, when we are praying, in intense prayer, God is giving a lot of coded messages. But all you're interested, sometimes stop. Yes. Debbie, are you understanding? Oh, there are two Debbies here. Yes, I forgot. Debbie one, Debbie two. Both of you. Don't forget. Do you understand? When you pray, let's stop. God, what are you saying? What are you saying? God will give you the meaning. Yeah. My son, one day, Tim, my oldest boy, he said to me one day, he said, whenever you start speaking in tongues, that I get scared because I don't know whether you'll be able to finish and interpret. I'm not scared at all. Amen. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Yeah. Eh? Yeah. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Yeah. Why should I be? No, not at all. So, where were we again? I'm not preaching with notes. You got to remind me. About faith. Yes, it's still faith. Yeah, so I'm saying that God communicates with our spirit. It's your spirit. That is the part of you that is linked with God. Do you understand? And when God wants to do something with you, he would always go for your spirit. Because your spirit is his candle. Show me that verse. Probably, there you go. The spirit of mine is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. It is your spirit that he will come for. That is why we must take time to develop our spirits. Yeah. We like your hair. Fee and I think we are only three guys here today, right? Me, Fee, and Michael. Michael, we also like your hair, by the way. Eh? We like their hair, isn't it? We prefer if their hair is like that. We love it. But don't just develop your hair. When I go to the barber, I see that there are some guys who spend more time on their hair than even the woman. Is it not true? Yeah, they're always cutting. So it's not only women. Spend time with your hair, but don't make that your only project. God wants you to spend time with your spirit. So we're talking about how you can develop your spirit, isn't it? How to train and develop your spirit. And number one, we said meditation. We've gone to town about meditation. We've talked a lot about meditation, isn't it? Then number two, we said practicing the word. That's number two. Practicing the word. Practicing the word. The way to train your spirit is to practice the word. Don't just be a hearer. James chapter 1 verse 22. Let's look at James chapter 1 verse 22. James 1, 22. There are many talkers of the word. There are many rejoicers about the word. There are many people who sympathize with the word. But not there are not that many doers of the word. James 1, 22 says, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So we need to get to the place of not just hearing, but doing the word. Amen. Doing the word. Amen. Doing the word. Amen. Doing the word. Amen. Doers of the word. Amen. Yes. Because he says, when we are just hearers, we deceive ourselves. So the number two, second way of developing, we have to do all this together, meditate. But the next thing we also have to add to meditation is that we must do the word. Now, how do you do the word? The answer is simple. Just do it. Amen. Yeah. Seriously, I'm not joking. It sounds like a joke. When I'm cracking a joke, I'll let you know. The solution to doing the word is just do it. There's nothing mystical about doing the word. Listen, all the great men of God, Bishop Doug and all the people you have, Kenneth Hagin, Bishop Ahedepo and all those, the way they relate to the word is not any different from the way we should relate to the word. It's just doing. You decide that you do it. I will do it. He says forgive, I will forgive. He says love, I will love. Do you still have my picture? Show my picture. I shared it during the first service. So I was at a conference this week, and it's a health conference, the New Jersey Primary Care Association. Okay? And I went to this conference. Now, at the conference, usually there's a speaker. And the speaker, we had two speakers, two in one speaker. And the topic they treated was healing the community through forgiveness. Wow. Right. This is a topic of, this is not church, oh. This is a medical conference, okay? And these were the people who presented. So you have Israel, Israel, and Mary, Sister Mary. Now, O'Shea killed Sister Mary's. So this is not a story. I mean, this is not like a fairy tale. I'm telling you, I took it. This is me. Can you see it's me? Yeah. Okay, it's me. I took a picture of them because I was so blessed. And I, there's a reason why I took the picture. I said, I want this picture and I want to keep it because I want it to minister to me anytime I'm struggling. So O'Shea killed Sister Mary's son when O'Shea was 17, and he was sentenced to 25 years. He did about 17, 18 years, and they let him go. Okay? But as you can see, Sister Mary and O'Shea are not enemies. In fact, when O'Shea left prison, O'Shea actually went to live next door. Next door. Mika, next door. Not next two doors, next door. In fact, they showed a clip where they were both standing at their door. And you could just see a little, not a wide pillar, actually less than the width of even a regular door, separating the two apartments. Wow. Sister Mary here and O'Shea here. What? Yes. So they narrated their whole story and how she, it wasn't easy, you see, but she did it. There's nothing misguided. So if you're waiting for Angel Gabriel to come down to make you love someone or to make you forgive someone or to make you do some word, it's not going to happen. It's a decision. I mean, she got to the point that, look, I want to meet this guy that killed my son, and I want to love on him, and I want to reconcile with him. Yeah. So she said that the first time she met Sister Mary, she's now a minister. She's now a minister. She ministers in a church. She said the first time he met her, all right, after they spoke, he said he didn't even know how it came out. He said, "Can you hug me?" Yeah, I didn't say this during the first service. And Sister Mary stepped out and hugged him.
Wow.
As they were talking now, it was so emotional. Even Sister Mary was still crying as she was telling us that. The whole room was quiet. You could even hear a pin drop. So I'm keeping it on my phone when I'm struggling with forgiving you. See what I'm saying? Then I'll look at it. And I hope that when you're also struggling for giving, you can remember this. Charmaine. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. Me and Charmaine, we're always fighting, but it's a love fight. We fight a lot, but it's always love, love, love fight. She's one of my good great daughters we've been. All right. So that's the story. Very simple story, but very, very, very strong and yeah. It's not simple. So the take on it is this, that sometimes you struggle with little things. I mean, somebody stepped on your toe in church, or somebody forgot to say good morning, or somebody, I mean, something very simple. That is not anywhere near killing. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? You kill somebody and the person has forgiven you. Yeah? Nadia, then you'll be upset with Fee. Eh? You wish. You wish you could be upset with him. It's serious. Yeah. So there should be nothing petty between you and your big brother. Do you understand? Yeah. Even if he ate your food by mistake. He does that all the time. Yeah. It's not going to stop tomorrow, I can assure you. He's going to eat your food until he marries. So pray for him that you marry and go leave the house. But as long as it's in the house, feel free, eat the food. Any food that is in the house is for all of us. Because if he cooks, you can eat some too. It may not taste good, but you can eat some. He cooked. Oh, you don't worry, it's coming. As soon as a lady comes into his life, you see that everything. Anyway, so let's go on. So what I'm saying is that we need to practice the word. We need to pray. And there's nothing mystical. It's just do. I say forgive, forgive. If you stumble, you come and say, "Lord, I stumbled. I want to forgive." Yeah. I've gone through instances where I've had to release people from my heart many times. I struggle. Your own is very different. She left me and walked away on me, but she came back and I embraced her. Isn't it? Have you told your friend about your incident? Yeah, after church, tell her the whole story. She walked out on me and she came back and I embraced her. But it's not quite as difficult as this. All right? So anytime you struggle with forgiveness, just remember that somebody has done even more than you did. Yeah, somebody was able to forgive somebody who murdered her son. Little boy. He was 16, but he was less than 10 years old. Yeah. You know, these kind of things, you can't even ask questions. Yeah, because I don't want to replay the whole thing. Even it's a controlled environment. They will not even allow you to ask those kind of questions. Yeah. But Sister Mary did mention that they had talked about it in the past, the real incident, how it happened, how he ended up killing him and all that. So she knows the full story, but she has forgiven. All right? So doers of the word. Lift up your hand and say, "I will be a doer of the word. I will be a doer of the word." Let's look at some words that we can practice with. John 13, verse 34. John 13, 34. John 13, 34. John 13, 34. Quickly. It says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Wow. Jesus even loved Judas when he knew that Judas would betray him anyway. Still loved him. So we just love. We must love each other and care for each other. Yes. There should be no instance where we are quarreling. I don't believe there's any quarrels in this church. I don't think so. We are so small. We should love each other and not quarrel. Yes. Micah, you get what I'm saying? You sure? There's a special visitor here. After I finish preaching, I'll introduce her when we are done. All right. Philippians chapter 4. We started with that last week. Let's go into it quickly. Practicing the word. Practicing doing the word. Philippians 4 and verse 6. It says, be careful for nothing. Be careful for nothing. Let's look at the Amplified version. Amplified version. It says, do not fret. Do not fret. Do not fret. Or have any anxiety about anything. So how do you practice it? You practice it. Yeah. For the past few days, I've been dealing with something on my heart. You know? And when it hits me, I just tell the Lord, Lord, you said I should not fret. So I refuse to fret. I absolutely refuse to fret. I'm done. It may come back in 10 minutes. But then I go back, Lord, we talked about this. I said, I refuse to fret. The next time it will come back in 30 minutes. But guess what? As you keep doing it, you see that the intervals with which it comes back. The devil, there's something about the devil. He never leaves us alone. Never. He will hustle you to the very end. No space. No breathing space. Look at what he did to Jesus. He hustled him all the way. Even on the cross, he was still worrying him. So the devil has no plans of leaving you or letting you alone. He will keep hustling you till the very end. So he says, do not fret. So how do we do it? You just do it. Guess what? When you do this a couple of times, you see what happens. Like your spirit is being developed. Your spirit is being trained. Yeah. Look, when you see great men of God that seem not to be moved by anything, like Bishop Dark, Kenneth Hagin, this is how they got there. There's nothing mysterious about it. This is just do the word. So it says, do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. But in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer and petition. And I like it to brackets. That's Amplified doing his thing, right? Definite request. Not beating about the bush. Not beating about the bush. But in everything by prayer and supplication, like King James said, but we'll read it Amplified. By prayer and petition, definite request, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. Now, this will not work when you haven't done the first part. I mean, if you omit, do not fret, but you go to God, Lord, I'm praying about this thing. Even this thing, a lot of times, we are not even definite about it. Kenneth Hagin used to say that a lot of times people come to you, Kenneth, please, Papa Hagin, pray for me. Pray for me. Then you hold them back as they are moving. What for? Then you start scratching your head. They don't know. They can't even define what they want to be prayed for. When you are praying, it has to be definite. Lord, I'm asking for a red car. Somebody's going to get a red car. I think it's a sister. It's a sister. It's a sister. You don't want a red car? Okay, then wait for your time till. Wait for your time till the prophecy for the red black one come. You want a black? It's for you. All right, receive it. Stephanie, you're also looking for a red car. But you have a car already. Are you going to, you want two? You have a car too. You want a car. All right. But this one, I think it's for a woman. It's for one of the sisters. It's going to be a cute red car. His wife. Yeah, maybe your wife. Yeah. You want it now. So definite request. I mean, definite. You have to be definite with your request that, Lord, I want this. You see, and we can talk about that another time. You see, your request should be God or word based. Do you understand? It has to be word based. If you ask for anything that is not word based, you won't get it. And that's the scripture Mika was quoting or read to us. If my words abide in you, if I abide in you and my words abide in you, you would ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Your request, your definite request should be, I mean, if you go around asking for somebody's husband, you're not going to get a husband. And it's happened before. Yeah, pastor told the story of somebody came to a church, a new person, because he doesn't know everybody. Already his eyes are on the pastor's wife. You see? And he put in a prayer request that he should be prayed for so that he can get the pastor's wife. I mean, if you come to the church, you want my wife, you will die. Yeah, there's a standing order. Anybody who tries to touch my wife, you are dead. Yeah. So it has to be in that order. You don't fret. Then number two, you ask. You ask. And then number three, with thanksgiving. A lot of time we pray and we ask, but without thanksgiving.
Thank God for my red car.
Amen. Yeah, you wake up, thank God for my red car. Thank God for the red car. Thank God for, and like joking, like you see it will happen. It's like we are playing, but you see that it will happen. So with thanksgiving, continue to make your request known to God. Then look at verse 7. And that's the part we like. Look at verse 7. It says, and God's peace. Go to the King James. I like the King James for this one. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. I mean, you won't be able to explain it. You see, but for you to experience the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, keeping your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus, you have to have gone through verse 6 of not fretting, of praying with definite request, with thanksgiving. And then he says, after you have done that, what happens? The peace of God. You see, so when you are here and you are saying, Pastor, I prayed and I'm still restless. I can't see my way out. It's not going to happen. I'm afraid. Sometimes you don't see you're afraid. But even the way you are talking, you can see that there's a lot of fear in you. It's not going to happen. So the way forward is to train ourselves. And it doesn't matter. If you feel like you failed, and go back. Go back. I do that all the time. Lord, I refuse to fret. I refuse to fret. Thank you for the answer that I'm expecting. And it says, when you do that, it says, a peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your heart, your mind through Christ Jesus. Then verse 8. Let's end with verse 8. Then it goes on. Then after you've done 6 and 7, the next instruction is that, finally, sisters and brothers, brethren means sisters and brothers, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. I mean, it's good report that you are healed. It's good report that you are not poor. It's good report that what? You are passing your exam. It's good report that you are doing well in life. It's good report that you are married. It's good report. He says, whatsoever is of good report. If there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Just do it. Make yourself do it. If you try it, it doesn't work, do it again. And as you keep doing it, what you're doing is you're training your spirit, and you see that it's just a matter of time, and you will be doing it far better than you used to. All right? Now, I want to pick on the first verse. It says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. Whatsoever things are true. What's our scripture for the week this week? What does it say? And thy word is what? Thy word is truth. So what this is actually saying to us, go back to our verse again. What this verse is actually saying to us is that things that are true, thy word is truth. Your mind should be on the word of God. You see, and this part will become easier because you are meditating already on the word of God. And as we do these things gradually, you realize that your spirit is developed more and you're able to log into faith much more easily and you'll be able to have great results. Do you believe it? I said, do you believe it? Put your hand on your heart as we end. Just pray for your heart right now and ask God for help and grace as we talk about developing your spirit, developing your heart. Say to the Lord, Lord, I want my spirit to develop. I want to be able to do these things. I want to be a person who meditates on the word of God. I want to be a person who spends time doing your word, not just hearing. Not just a casual hearer, but a real doer of your word. Pray and ask God for that help. Like I said early this morning during the first service, we should oftentimes tell God our weaknesses. Even in this area, tell God, God, this is what I'm weak at. I'm not able to do this. God, this is what I'm weak at. Ask Him for help. Because He says His grace is sufficient for us. His power is made perfect in our weakness. And I believe that God will help you. God will help you. God will help you. God will help you. I see God helping you. I see God helping you. Believe it. I see God helping you. You'll be a person with a strong spirit because you meditate. You'll be a person with a strong spirit because you're a doer of the word. You make yourself do the word. You are able to do the word, not just a hearer. God is helping us. God is helping us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we give you praise. We give you praise. Lift up your right hand and begin to thank God. Begin to bless His name for His abundance, abundance of grace. Abundance of grace. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Bible says that on the night that Christ was betrayed, He took bread. Having blessed it, He said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. The same way He took the cup after and He said, drink, this is my blood which is shed for you. And then He said that we should do this often in remembrance of Him. For as often as we do this, we show forth His death. We relive His death. We reiterate His death until He comes. Father, bless His elements as we partake of this communion in Jesus' name. Please distribute it.
So God.